y'all.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
This is Zach.
And this is Stuart.
And this is the Backyard Super Show. This is a me episode number 17.
That's right. This is where we talk about what kind of media we've been consuming, what games we've been playing, what books we've been reading, things that aren't probably big enough for an actual cast.
But we sometimes pull from these as fodder to talk about later. Like, I used Jumanji 2 in one of mine earlier, and then that is an episode that played a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Or a couple weeks ago at this point. So,
and these are usually things that we enjoyed, so we usually give a couple of recommendations from these things.
Yeah.
Particular games and stuff we've seen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to kick it off to you, Zach.
Okay.
What have you been doing?
So, I went through, in preparation for the Hellboy movie that's coming out, I went through first 12 volumes of the Hellboy comic.
Ah.
I don't have all of them. I have the mainline Hellboy thing. So, there are 12 trade paperbacks.
Nice.
Or trade size collections.
Yeah.
There's tons of stuff in this world. BPRD is a line. Abe Sapien has his own line.
Oh,
there's
wow.
Hellboy in Hell that continues the storyline of the original Hellboy comics, and it's collected. So
jeez,
there's a lot to go into with it.
Yeah. My question to you is how I guess similar is the old Hellboy to these comics? Like, did they pull anything?
The Guillermo del Toro?
Yes.
So they pull, they pull things from one of the storylines, but they change it a lot.
Okay.
This new movie looks like it's pulling a lot from the comics. They're probably going to restructure it, because like I said in a Me episode a few weeks ago, when we were talking about the trailer, The images that they show in that trailer happen in these 12 volumes, but they happen at different time points, because Hellboy is functionally immortal, I think. He's, like, he starts off in World War II, but he's, like, in his 30s in present day.
Yeah.
So, like, he doesn't age the same way, and so he's doing things in, like, 1949.
Ah.
and they pile up, and these interactions happen for the final, I guess, battle with the big bad or whatever in the last volume. But it's like, it's spread out over a century. So if they pull these where they happen in the comic and do it exactly like the comic, as I said in that last episode, or the previous episode, it's going to be like a 6-hour movie if they do it. So they're going to change it a lot.
So they're just all going to jam-pack it in this one century and be like, there we go.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably going to be like flashback scenes, and they're not going to go into the whole thing.
Yeah.
I really like these comics. They appeal to the pretentious comic fan in me. But they're also very fun and very easy to get into. Mike, if anyone doesn't know, their Dark Horse put them out. They're Mike Mignola books. He's the artist and writer. I don't think he did any inking or anything. One of the fascinating things in these comics that I did not know, because have you read any Hellboy?
I've not. I've only seen the movies from
Okay, well, so the comics are drawn in a way, Alan Moore describes them as German expressionist comics.
Yeah, I know that they have a very unique style to them.
Yeah, they're very angular, and there's lots of solid colors. There's very little light design in it. Mignola, when he does these, the art is done entirely. So even if it's in shadow,
oh wow,
it's drawn on the in the frame, because they're showing, doing a dissection of, like, this is how we make these comics.
Yeah.
And so he draws it, and then when they ink and color it, they black out everything to it. So it's like,
wow,
that seems like a lot of work to put into something that's going to get blacked out.
Yeah.
I guess the angularity would just be drawn in for the actual comic.
Yeah. Though, if you love your craft, you're just going to pour your heart and soul into it. So.
That's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, I highly recommend this Hellboy run. I borrowed a couple of volumes of BPRD. I like it. In the storyline, for reasons that happen, the BPRD line...
And what's the
BP? Bureau of Paranormal Research and... It's not research and design. The Bureau of Paranormal Response? Something? I don't know what it is. I forget what it stands for.
Okay.
It's the organization that Hellboy works for in the movie, and in the comics he does as well. It's a government-funded thing.
Right.
In
the movie, it's secret. It's the arm with the sword.
Yeah, that's the logo for it. It's the arm with the sword. Mm-hmm. In the movie, the Guillermo del Toro movies, it's clandestine. Like, people don't know about it. Yeah. In the comics, people know who Hellboy is. Like, they just operate in the open because all this weird shit happens.
Yeah. Interesting.
But BPRD comics focus more on their missions. So, like, Hellboy's in some of them. Some of them just focus on Liz Sherman and Abe Sapien.
Yeah. Sort of like the S.H.I.E.L.D. of Marvel.
Yeah, it's like S.H.I.E.L.D. for Marvel, but with, like, weird Cthulhu monsters.
Yeah.
Hellboy is the perfect jumping off point because some of the lines can't, because I mean this 12 volume series, like this storyline came out in between a lot of the other lines.
Yeah.
But the BPRD Hell on Earth and the Hellboy in Hell lines and Abe Sapien lines all happen following the big end events of this original Hellboy line. Oh, okay. So, it's got a weird publication history. I'd love to read it in chronological, by printing, order it came out. But I don't know if they're ever going to collect it like that, just because it's so weird and probably hard to follow if you're not, like, sticking with one line over the other and reading it to completion. So, you can read them a couple of different ways, but... yeah, these 12 volumes are fantastic. I can't wait to see this movie with David Harbour.
Yeah, it looks good. I've seen a couple of the trailers, and it looks interesting. It's definitely a different take than the previous Hellboy. So, but I feel like it's going to be good. I feel like they're pouring a lot of their energy into it.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah. I think it's going to be a good watch.
Yeah, it looks like great care is being taken to follow at least the iconic imagery from the comics.
Yeah.
So that's really what any comic fan wants, I think. Nice. I mean, it's at least what I want.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, with that, do you want to...
Yeah, that segues well into what I did. I actually watched The Umbrella Academy, which is another Dark Horse comic.
Is that the one that,
it's on Netflix?
That My Chemical Romance dude, did? I want to say it's based off a comic that Gerard Way wrote. I think he wrote the comic.
I don't know. I've only seen, because after watching the series in full, it's only 10 episodes. The episodes are, 45 minutes.
Okay.
After watching the, series... I did some research on the actual comic.
Okay.
And the comic actually has the same sort of artwork that Hellboy has, where it's very angular.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Probably an inspiration.
Probably. But it definitely, this series made me want to read the comic, because it was very interesting. So it's only 10 episodes at 45 minutes, so it's something that I ended up binging over, 2 days. Mm. But it has that sort of gritty, dark, as Dark Horse does, comic world feel to it. Where the concept is about 60 babies were born on the same day at the same exact time from women who weren't pregnant, who just magically became pregnant that day and birthed a baby.
That's weird.
Yeah. And this rich entrepreneur ended up adopting 7 or 8 of them. And basically he went and he bought some babies.
Okay.
Because he...
That's not creepy.
Yeah, that's not creepy at all. Because he found out that each of these kids has a special power.
Okay.
So he basically got these 8 kids and started training them as superheroes. Sort of homing their unique ability.
Okay.
And he created this Umbrella Academy where the kids would train their powers and basically became superheroes.
Okay.
They would have their masks and everything. Well, the Umbrella Academy basically breaks down because he's a monster as a father.
Yeah.
And these kids end up doing their own separate things. He has a monkey who's a butler that he, you know, like...
I remember seeing that in the trailer. Yeah.
And
it looks like it's animated very well.
It is animated. Like, the cinematography is fantastic. The acting is great. I really enjoyed the acting.
Ellen Page is in it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's the big name, the big draw to it.
She's the stunt cast.
Yeah. The acting's fantastic. It's well-paced. It's definitely sort of like a mystery burn to it,
okay,
where you're not 100% sure what's going to happen. I will say, and I highly recommend this show, it's very good. I will say the ending kind of leaves a little bit to desire. It leaves it kind of open-ended.
So they're hoping for a second season, then.
Basically, yeah.
So is it done like Netflix has, I've noticed, been doing with, like, Dragon Prince and Disenchanted, where they're, like, part one of season one, and, or is it
kind
a full
of.
Season?
So it's a full season.
Okay.
It's a full 10 episodes. There is a, an arc to it.
Okay.
Where, you know, you've got your beginning, your middle, and your end. It's just the end does leave you on a cliffhanger. Where they're like, see what happens on season two.
Gotcha.
Which I always feel is a cheap trick just to, like, hook viewers.
Yeah.
And it's not even an ambiguous ending of, like, what happened. It's more of just, like, find out next time.
Well, I wonder if this is an adaptation, because I want to say that there's not very many issues of this out. I want to, like, I'm wondering
not sure
if this is an adaptation of, like, the first trade.
It might be. Again, I didn't do too much research on the actual comic. But I really love the beats that they hit. Some of the acting, two of the kids, number 5 and, I forget his name, but he's the other guy who basically can speak with the dead. Fantastic actors. They do a great job. And, because it's funny, the old man who bought them didn't actually give them names. He just called them numbers. Like, number 1, number 2, yeah. So,
because, again, that's not fucked up.
Yeah, because, you know, he didn't actually care for them in a father role. He just was trying to, like, teach them and protect them. Well, not protect them, but teach them and, like, train them and sort of get dividends from his investment, basically.
That's
where he's investing into these kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. But all in all, I really enjoyed the story. The story is great. It does wrap up at the end, but it leaves it at a cliffhanger. But the acting is great. All of these interesting dynamics between characters are fantastic. And just the whole storyline is really good. It really drew me in, and like I said, I binged it in 2 days. And I usually don't binge television shows. Yeah. So it was something that kept on drawing me back in to be like, oh, I'll just watch one more. And then I realized, oh, man, it's like 8 o'clock. Well, I've already watched 7 episodes.
May as well watch 3.
Yeah. So it's something that I highly recommend. And again, if you have Netflix, it's free. Well, not free. You're paying for Netflix. But it's a good show to watch. And again, 10 episodes at 45 minutes. It's not too much of an investment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I recommend it.
Okay, Cool. Yeah, I mean, it's in my queue. I just need to get through my queue.
Yeah, exactly. And it's Dark Horse, so it has that, like, if you haven't read a lot of Dark Horse's comics, they are kind of, like, gritty and a little bit dark and everything.
So, I guess, like you said with Hellboy, mm-hmm. with BPRD being, like, the Avengers of the Dark Horse universe, would you say that Umbrella Academy are, like, the X-Men of the Dark Horse universe?
Kind of, yeah. Okay.
So it's like that feel, then, but dark.
Yeah, because they all, like, live in a house, and they were brothers and sisters because they were adopted.
Gotcha.
But they have a very strained family relationship.
Yeah.
Where they do call each other brothers and sisters, but, like, they know that they're not blood relatives, so there's some back and forth and mistrust amongst them all. Hmm. And then, you know, number one is always trying to be this leader type figure because he's number one.
Yeah.
And he has as many flaws as everybody else, and he really can't... He has a hard time struggling being number one.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's very interesting, and, like, some people end up going and living actual lives where others end up being suffocated by this training, by this lifestyle where they can't function anymore.
Hmm.
So, it's good. I, again, highly recommend it. It is that sort of darker side of superheroes. Think more of, like, Daredevil.
Okay, so yeah. that level of dark, not like Hellboy dark.
Yeah, not like Hellboy dark, of just like dealing with emotions and dealing with family issues and stuff like that. And, like, none of the powers are super game-breaking. There is one or two game-breaking, like, powers.
Okay.
But they don't really get used that much.
Okay.
Which
well,
is
that's fair.
Interesting, yeah. But it's just an interesting take on the superheroes genre.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Well, so the other thing that I did is I finally finished up House of Cards.
Nice.
Do you know anything about House
nope.
of Cards? No. Nope? Okay. So originally it was a BBC show. It was like three seasons, like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Netflix partnered with David Fincher, who is probably one of my favorite directors,
mm-hmm.
To make a show about a politician who breaks the fourth wall and speaks to the camera to, like, outline what he's doing while he's doing these behind-the-scenes machinations.
So it's sort of a Deadpool of...
Well, I mean, it's not funny. Like, it's all austere and dark, like most Fincher stuff.
Okay.
And it's realistic. It's just while he's doing it. I haven't seen the original series. I think that's probably a thing that they do in the original series.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's, like, at a table negotiating something with someone, and he'll turn to the camera and go, "This guy's a major piece of shit." And I feel like hell doing this, but it's the only way I can do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he'll cut back, and they haven't heard him speak to the audience, basically. Yeah.
It's sort of like a Saved by the Bell, what's-his-face.
Yeah.
I always had that fourth wall break. Zach.
Yeah, Zach Morris.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, the first, I think it's six seasons. I watched them as they came out.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's six seasons. The first five all have focused on Kevin Spacey.
Okay.
Because he had the accusations leveled against him for assaulting a minor.
Yeah.
Netflix got rid of him. And in this last season focuses on his wife in the show, played by Robin Wright.
Okay. You were looking at me, I was like, I'm not going to be able to help you.
It blanked my head. And, like, I was like, Princess Buttercup. Princess Buttercup. Who played Princess Buttercup in Princess Bride?
Yeah.
Robin Wright. There
you
go.
There
you go. She's fantastic in it. I do feel like this last season is weaker because of some of the changes they had to make.
Mm.
None of it is her performance. A lot of it has to do with the writing that they were forced to do around some of the events, because Kevin Spacey's the main character, and then now they have to write him out and work around it.
Yeah.
So a lot of it has to do, I think, with the writing. Robin Wright is a fantastic actor. She's probably one of the better ones working today.
Mm-hmm.
The last season is just kind of not great. It, like, you know, other seasons, I think they had like 10 to 13 episodes, and this last season I only had 8 episodes. So I feel like the writers had to cut a lot.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
the expense of paying people to write 5 more episodes, it's like, well, just wrap it up in 8, and yeah. We'll...
I mean, it's definitely hard when you take that hard turn, and when you shift the focus from one character to another.
Yeah.
I totally understand why they did that.
Yeah.
I'm
not faulting them for doing it. They made the right choice.
Yeah, but it's always going to be a strain on your writing staff, on the acting staff. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I recommend the show. It's dark, and it's a slog. Like, I tend to like more austere, I'll say grimdark things.
Yeah.
I think our tastes diverge in that you seem to be a little bit more whimsy and positive and fun. And I tend to be drawn towards media that is darker and austere and, yeah.
Hey, I mean, I was drawn to the Umbrella
and a little sinister. Yeah.
I feel like we make good foils to each other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I like this show. Every time I've tried to read, because I wanted to do a complete watch through of the series.
Yeah.
Every time I've tried to load it, I think that Netflix is trying to scrub it because I can't get the first season to load.
Huh. Interesting.
I don't know if it's just my app that needs updating or what, but
I don't know.
It's an interesting show. It's not very realistic, even though it's trying to be, for reasons that will unfurl to you if you watch the first season.
Yeah.
But I do highly recommend people watching it if you're able to.
Nice.
Just know that, like, even though I like these things, I could only ever really watch 2 or 3 episodes in a row. Like, it's a very difficult show to binge.
Yeah.
You'd have to have a stronger constitution for the type of depravity that, or not depravity, sinister things that are going on.
Like a 20 constitution?
Yeah, like a 20 constitution. Yeah.
That's a role-playing
that
joke.
That is a role-playing joke.
Which
no one
segues well into my next thing.
Okay.
So,
be careful, you're spiking.
Oh, okay. We'll work that in post.
You mean I'll work that post, okay.
Exactly. So I've actually been listening to a couple of podcasts. One was on a recommendation from you.
Yeah.
I've listened to Critical Role. It's a D&D podcast.
Did you start with the second campaign?
No, I started with the first one. Which...
Well, let me know in 6 years how you like it. For anyone that doesn't know, it, like you said, it's an actual play where they actually post their episode. Each episode,
it's like 3 hours.
There are some that are like 5 and 6.
I know.
Just so you know. But, just so you know.
But these are like voice actors. I will say they're
they're professional voice actors.
They are professional voice actors, and they play off each other fantastically. I will tell you, there are many times when I'm cracking up. I'm listening to this in the car when I'm just cracking up on some of the riffs that they have with each other.
Yeah.
Like, they actually role play.
Yeah.
And the majority of the podcast is them just talking with each other.
Yeah.
It's not actual combat or anything. But I forget who the D&D, or not the D, the DM's name
Matt
is.
Matt Mercer.
Yeah. He will step back a lot of the times and let them just have conversations with each other.
Yeah, no, he's probably one of the better professional DMs there are. He and Chris Perkins are hands down probably the best.
Yes.
Yeah.
And because a lot of times you'll find DMs that micromanage.
Yeah.
Where they'll try to, like, move the game along. And, you know, you lose a lot of that interpersonal conversation when you try to move the game along. Well, these guys are, like, actors, and they really know how to, like, play off each other. They know, like, improv techniques. And you can tell these guys are professionals just the way that they talk with each other.
Yeah.
And it is hilarious.
Well, if I can hijack your me.
Sure.
Two things. This, I think, is... If anyone has ever run a game before, mm-hmm. you know that your group, your players, will absolutely not do the thing you're playing for them to do.
Of course
not. And you have to freestyle. And usually that turns out horribly. I think the strength of Matt Mercer as a DM mm-hmm. is a while ago on the stream. I don't know if it made it into the episode.
Yeah. Yeah, because they stream it on Twitch, too.
Yeah, they stream it on Twitch.
On Geek and Sundry, right?
I'm not sure which channel so. It's on.
I think it's
on. But they the players decide to do something, and Mercer goes, "Are you sure?" And they go, "Yep." And then he straightens his papers that are his notes, and then rips them in half and throws them on the ground, and just... freestyles for another 3 hours, because this happened like an hour in.
Yeah.
And I'll he's say, really good.
I'll say that I've actually been DMing a little bit with you, your wife, and a couple of our other friends.
Yeah.
And it's amazing some of the situations that you guys come up with, and like some of the solutions to particular problems that I...
Yeah,
that I give you guys. And it's like, oh, you ended up solving that without combat.
Without fighting anyone.
Well, Hooray. Good for you guys. And it's a very unique...
You dungeoned when you should have dragoned.
No, and it's great. I think it's awesome because you guys have a very unique party setup. And I really enjoyed it. And I was just, like, making sure that you guys were okay with, like, not getting into combat too much because you guys are problem solvers.
Yeah, we have a weird layout, too, because I'm a tiefling bard slash ranger. My wife is a human rogue.
Yeah.
One of our friends is a half-elven sorcerer.
Yeah, with dragon blood in it.
With dragon blood. And then there's a half-orc druid.
Yeah.
You'll note that three of those are casters.
Yeah.
And of that some there's variety.
No tank, no fight.
There's no tank. My bard is the closest thing to a tank
because I chose a healer.
Valor. Yeah, and a healer because I chose the Valor school and with my ranger, I think I'm going to go with two weapon fighting because I got to get those two swords.
So, it's very fun, and just listening to this podcast, playing with you guys, it's really sparked my interest in D&D again. So I think I'm going to try to, like, go out and maybe do an Adventure League or two.
Okay.
Yeah, I know that Joystick has a couple of Adventure Leagues.
Yeah, I'd like to do that, just my work schedules.
Yeah, of course. But I know, you know, being a DM, you DM it, and then you're like, oh, man. And the
now
thing
I
want to
play.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, we play once a month, which... You know, it's nice because we all have weird schedules. When you become an adult, you have to adult, unfortunately. Yeah. But then it just, like, gives you that small little taste, and you're like, I want more. I want more.
Yeah. Well,
so I might look into doing a Adventure League or something like that. But then I've also been listening...
Well, before you move on, there's other Critical Role news. So they have a Kickstarter. I think it'll still be going on when this goes up. But
for what? A Kickstarter for what?
Oh, so yeah, it's a Kickstarter for an animated they were going to do a 22-minute episode. They calculated it out and said, "Okay, we need $50,000 a minute mm-hmm. to get this on." We're asking for $750,000.
Yeah.
At the end of the first day, they had like $6.5 million.
Jesus.
So their stretch goals became, okay, well, we'll do another 22 minutes of this and this and that.
Yeah.
So now it's 10 episodes.
Nice.
I don't know if, I think that it's just going to be publicly available on Geek and Sundry.
That's awesome. Or on YouTube.
Because a lot of the stretch, none of the stretch goals were like, you get a Blu-ray of this animated thing, but it's,
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. They've still got... Is it still going on?
Because I would love to donate.
As we're recording this, there's still 40 days left.
Oh, wow.
When it goes up, it'll probably have 20.
Be less. Yeah.
It'll probably be 20 or so, but it's a 45-day campaign.
Jeez.
I want to say they're at like $8 or $9 million right now, I think.
Whoa, that's a lot.
It is fantastic. Although some of the stretch goals, like one of them is like meet the cast and hang out with them and stuff.
Yeah.
All expense paid to LA, but that tier is like $40,000. Yeah. Like it's some ridiculous amount. Yeah. That,
well, that's awesome. I would love to donate to that. I mean, I really enjoyed their podcast, and again, you know, if you really enjoy a podcast, you should definitely give back to them, because it's a free thing, and I know that they're doing it, you know, when they do that role-playing, of course they're having fun, but they're doing it for free, and...
Well, I mean, they're probably getting paid, but...
Okay.
Well, I mean, you don't have to pay them to see it. They're probably getting ad revenue.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
But still, you know, my big thing is, if I enjoy something, I would love to give back to that.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, I was a big person against, like, illegally pirating stuff. Because if I really enjoy that, I want to support that artist or, you know, actor or whatever with my money, because I enjoy it and I want them to be successful.
Yeah.
So that, and I've been listening to another podcast, Sword of Nerdom. It was actually a podcast that a friend of mine started up. I used to work with him over at Barnes & Noble. They are doing basically a let's play of Pathfinder. And and they've been going pretty strong. They've been doing 100 episodes, which is amazing.
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
That's like 40 some odd more than us.
Yeah, I know. And they're like 3-hour long episodes as well of Pathfinder.
Yeah, I listened to one called One Shot that's like, they maintain like an hour and a half per episode, because but it's one session, so they have to edit it.
Yeah.
I don't know what nightmare that is to edit, because I would think a session, like, you would have to almost record a session and post it.
Yeah, that's the thing, is they do editing on it, there's music in the background, so when, you know, they're, like, talking fighting, or when like, they're fighting, and, you know, that you have to get, like, music that's non-copyrighted, or you have to make up your own music, and you have to edit everything.
Like we do.
Yeah, basically. So, you know, and it's been going on for 100 episodes. They've got their own, you know, mic set up. You can hear everybody really crisp. They've got a very good dynamic. They've got a group of 4 people plus the DM.
Yeah.
And everybody plays off of each other. And it's just a really good listen to. So, I highly recommend that. Again, Critical Role and Sword of Nerdom. They both have websites, and it was super easy to sort of get into, especially when you have, like, a commute like mine, when I'm driving an hour and a half. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. And that's one way, so it's nice to sort of have that podcast
listen
to.
So you can knock out a Critical Role episode a day.
Yeah, I know, basically. So, yeah, I highly recommend those two podcasts. It's definitely getting my D&D itch scratched, though I think I'm...
Although it's probably also scratching, making you scratch.
Yeah, probably, because I'm going to be doing some Adventure League, probably over at Joystick. Has a couple of Adventure Leagues. So if you're in the Atlanta area and you're local and you see me over at Joystick, definitely give me a wave. I'll probably be the loud gnome or the drunken dwarf, because I'm a loud person. Surprise. I love a boisterous character.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it for me.
Okay. My wife and I watched Watership Down on Netflix.
Ooh. The rabbit one, right?
Yes. Yeah, so...
She has a tattoo, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does. Now, we watched this because it's one of her favorite books, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we have several copies of it on DVD and Blu-ray. There's a Criterion collection that
I've never read the book.
I tried.
Oh.
It is not written in a style that is that I found easily digestible.
Okay.
But I can definitely see why, because there's a whole mythology and world that's built up.
Oh.
It's just, it's not written in a style that I was able to easily digest mm-hmm. and want to keep reading.
Yeah.
But according to her, the Netflix show followed more of the book's storyline. There were changes, obviously. Mm-hmm. The animation, people write and say it's not great, but I feel like the animation looks fine.
I've never seen the Netflix show or the movie.
Oh, well, we need to have a movie day then.
Yeah.
The Netflix show is only like 4 episodes.
Oh, okay.
They're longer episodes.
Like 45 minutes, an hour?
Like an hour, hour and a half.
Okay. Oh, wow.
I think.
Sort of like a Sherlock.
Yeah. Because, I mean, this was done in partnership with BBC.
Okay.
So, like, John Boyega voices Bigwig.
Oh,
I
don't know who that is.
So he's one of the characters, obviously. But John Boyega voices a character. James McAvoy voices someone.
Mm.
It's got some big names in it.
Yeah.
It's very entertaining. I highly recommend it if you're looking for something to... I mean, it is... I wouldn't recommend it to kids because, you know, there's a lot of people who have seen...
Yeah, isn't it kind of gory and bloody?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. there are a lot of people who have seen... Who saw the animated show or the animated movie, like my wife did, at a young age and were terrified by it.
Yeah.
And parents would come in and be like, it's a bunch of cartoon rabbits. And it's like, yeah, you didn't see the hill get bulldozed while they're rabbits in the Warren.
Now, is it animated in the style, like, Secret of Nim? Like, that sort of older?
The movie is.
Yeah.
The Netflix show is CG.
Oh.
It's CG animated.
Ooh. Is it, like, a good CG? Or is it
kind of
rough?
What I was saying. Like, it looks fine to me. A lot of people don't like the way it's animated. But... Yeah. I think it looks fine. It's almost animated. It kind of looks like they were going for a stop motion look, almost. It's interesting and different. I like it.
Okay.
I'm a fan. You had one more thing?
Oh, right? You done with your watch it
yeah,
now?
Yeah, I'm done. I highly recommend it. Because I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, of course.
And it's very difficult to talk about without spoiling. Like, I've already done it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's something that happens in the first, like, 10 minutes.
Okay.
I feel like that's not...
Yeah.
That's not a huge thing.
Yeah, so I've got one last thing. I've been with all the cool kids doing some dabs, doing some video games.
Fortnite?
Close, though.
Okay.
Apex Legends. It's another Battle Royale game. Though, I hear it's actually doing a lot better than Fortnite. A lot of people are moving over to it.
Yeah. I've noticed that trend on Twitch.
Yeah. There's a couple of things going for it over Fortnite. First of all, the matchmaking is fantastic.
I've heard.
Yeah. You end up getting into groups of 3, and it matches you, depending on, like, your skill and everything with other people. The biggest draw, for me at least, is you can play it without a mic. So you don't have to listen to any randos basically spouting out racist stuff or just being obnoxious.
Other people are the worst thing about multiplayer.
I mean, you know, I don't want to be stereotypical about gamers, but yeah, there are a lot of toxic people sometimes, especially when you get into competitive, like, games with those Battle Royale games. But this one has a thing where you can ping on the map, like, where you want to go, or if there's ammo here, or guns, and you can basically play that game without a mic. And I do that. I don't have my mic on. And I don't have it where I can hear people. There's a speak-to-text option, which I turned on immediately, where when people are talking to me through their mics, it's just a text that appears on the window. So I don't have to listen to anybody. I can just sort of read what they're saying.
So you can just read toxic sludge. And
or you ignore it.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't even have mics because you can communicate with each other through pings.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
A lot of people that I've ended up being on a group with just don't have mics, and we just ping each other and be like, oh, let's go over there.
And pinging is like, over there, over here. Yeah.
Where basically you have your controller and you click a button and it'll ping and your character will say something depending on what you ping. If you ping like a particular part of the map, your character will basically say, let's go here. Or if you click on a weapon, they'll say, oh, there's a weapon here, come and get it, or something like that. So your character's doing all the talking. So, that's really nice.
So, not to sound like a misanthrope,
yeah,
but talking about playing with other people online,
yeah.
Did you ever play Perfect Dark?
I did. On N64? But I never played online.
My dream, there was no online.
Yeah.
My dream is to have a multiplayer like that where you can
turn
on bots and set the AI level.
Yeah.
Just crank it all up and just play. You don't have to deal with anyone.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, I interrupted.
No, it's a fun game. It's a fun game. It's your typical Battle Royale game. If you've played Fortnite, you've played them all. If you've played PUBG, you've played them all. So it is a Battle Royale where you have special abilities for each individual character. So you have cooldowns and things along those lines. Kind of like Overwatch. So it's kind of a mixture of that, which is fun. I mainly play with friends. I don't really play with a lot of random people. So when I'm playing with friends, I do talk on the mic. But when I do play with random people, mic's off. And it's fun. It's free.
It is
free, which is nice.
Yeah.
So you can download it for free, which I highly recommend. You can buy skins for their in-game currency, but I wouldn't recommend that.
Is Apex Legends its own IP, or is it part of...
No, it's its own IP. They just kind of came up with it. It's a very rough story of, like, these people are all trying to become legends, and you have to, like, beat everybody else to become the legendness of legends.
Gotcha.
It's not a real story. It's basically... a story there to be like, hey, we're putting a bunch of people in an arena to fight.
Okay.
And that's that. But well, I mean, it's free, so I'd recommend the download. I haven't spent any money on it. I wouldn't spend any money on it, but it's a fun and interesting concept on the whole talking part.
Well, it's funny. I was on my PS4 the other day downloading my PS Plus games,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, you know what? I'll download Fortnite. I'll see what the kids are playing. And I said that out loud, and my wife was like, you've become an old person.
Did you dab?
I haven't played it yet. I was just downloading it, because it takes forever to download anything like that.
Do you know how to dab?
Yeah, it's this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm doing the motions of dabbing, guys.
Yeah. It's awesome. My mind is blown.
So I downloaded it and Apex Legends, and... I looked at PUBG, but I was like, why would I pay $25 when these others are free?
Yeah, which is ridiculous. That's why PUBG is dying.
Well, there's another one that I looked at that I downloaded because it's free, called Warframe.
Yes, that is...
It looks weird, but I kind of want to play it. It's Cyber Ninjas.
So, it's funny that you bring it up. Anthem, it's the free version of Anthem.
Anthem. Is it?
So Anthem.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So Anthem is BioWare's take on Destiny, the leveling up shooter.
Gross.
Yeah. But you have to pay for Anthem. Warframe, you're basically in mech suits.
And it's just battle royale.
It's not battle royale. No. It's like Destiny, where it's an online sort of experience. Where you can team up with other people to do, like, raids and missions and stuff like that.
Maybe I'll start twitching them, because 2 months or so ago that one of the PS Plus games for free was Destiny 2 at a certain level.
Yeah.
Like, one of the expansions, and I was like, well, I'll put it in my library. And
Destiny 2 is not good.
Yeah, I've heard. I didn't like the first one.
Unfortunately, Anthem isn't doing great, and this was BioWare's sort of make-or-break game, and unfortunately, it's probably going to break BioWare.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah. So we're not going to get another Dragon Age?
Probably not, or not another BioShock or anything along those lines.
Mass Effect.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, my fourth thing is that I actually did, rather than just downloading and not play, was Gentleman Broncos. It's a movie, came out a few years ago.
Never heard of it.
It's got Jemaine Clement in it, and it was directed, I think, and written by the guy that did Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh.
So, kind if you that like that, like...
weird awkwardness.
White trash Mormon type vibe in your movie, it's really funny. I liked it. It's generally the story of a kid that writes a weird sci-fi story,
mm-hmm.
and is getting writing advice from a professional sci-fi weirdo at a writer's convention for kids, and this guy basically steals the story.
Oh, man.
And Jemaine Clement plays the sci-fi weirdo.
Yeah.
Who's like a successful writer. He just has writer's block. It's fascinating. There are scenes that are depicted that are supposedly from this story that they're depicted twice. Sam Rockwell is in it playing the hero, and in the story, there's a much cooler version that the kid wrote. Then there's an adapted version by this sci-fi weirdo that's, like, weirdly erotic, and it's very strange. It looks kind of like a Barbarella.
Weird.
It's a bizarre movie that I love, because it obviously was not shot for very much money.
Yeah. So where can you find it?
I got it from the library.
Oh.
So you can find it on disc probably in any used bookstore, because it's not one that I think you could, like, watch over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
But it is pretty funny. It's got a couple of the people from Napoleon Dynamite in it.
Oh, okay.
Like, I think the guy that played Pedro is in it.
Okay.
And I think the love interest in Napoleon Dynamite is also in it.
Man, I don't remember much from Napoleon Dynamite.
It's funny. It's one of those zeitgeisty movies. I think they were trying to recreate that.
Yeah.
And the way they made it, like, cringy and like the awkwardness of Napoleon Dynamite. But it wasn't as successful because people have already seen Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah.
But it's still, I think, has strong merits. It's definitely well-paced.
Okay.
I think it's only like an hour and a half. So, nice. Not a huge time investment.
Yeah.
Definitely worth a watch, though.
Yeah, for free.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it for me.
Yeah, I think that wraps it up for this me.
Okay. Well, yeah. So the book club book, which we'll be doing next week, is The Shining.
The Shining, yeah. If you haven't listened to our previous podcast on the movie,
yeah,
you should definitely give that a listen to.
Yeah. And then also, we will be at 221 BCon April 5th through 7th.
Yeah.
And Outlanticon May 10th through 12th. You can check out our Facebook page. The top pinned post is our convention schedule, so you can see which conventions we're going to. There are links to those pages for respective conventions.
Yeah.
So you can kind of see what they're all about.
Yeah, check them out, see if they're your jam, and if they are, definitely go there. And if you see us around, give us a high five or a hug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if you're not into the whole physical contact thing, just say, hey.
Yeah.
And go, hey.
Exactly.
All right. Yeah, so go to Facebook, take part in our nerd fight, send us an email at backrowsupershow@gmail.com.
Pew, pew.